This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you so much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the last one of the year.
Yeah.
I just realized that.
Yeah.
Just looked at the calendar.
Are we going to do a year in review this week?
I didn't prep for it.
Oh. Well, yes, we just realized it was the last one of the year. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Going to say no, but at the end of the show, though, we'll probably try to think here throughout the hour.
Sure.
Try to come up with our top high school sports moment of the year.
The calendar.
I got to get used to this. We don't have NBC News at the top of the hour, and 4 minutes turns to two. That's pretty quick.
Bit of an adjustment there.
Yeah, it is.
Bit of an adjustment. We got lots of basketball coming up today right here on FM 106. We will have a doubleheader live from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. Going to start a little earlier from Carlinville today than we normally do. We'll have live coverage beginning at 3:30 this afternoon. Boys action. Gillespie taking on Bunker Hill. The Miners 1-0 in pool play. They defeated Carlinville yesterday 62-51. They will take on Bunker Hill, who's 0-1 in pool play after falling to Lincolnwood yesterday 71-54. And then at 5 o'clock, we will have a big-time girls matchup for you from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. It'll be Litchfield taking on Nokomis. It'll be part 3 of that installment this year.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you say, Dave? About when they played like 50 times
in the last few years. They played each other a lot.
Both are 1-0 in pool play. Litchfield hammered Staunton yesterday 50-18, and Nokomis had a running clock on Wood River 53-22. So the winner of that game today will have an inside track to the championship game on Tuesday night. So the live coverage from Carlinville beginning at 3:30. It'll all stream at WSMIRadio.com. And then Fighting Illini basketball tonight hosting Kennesaw State live at 7 here on FM 106.
School of Illinois reeling from a tough bowl loss yesterday.
Was it a tough bowl loss, David? Is that what it was?
You look at the statistics, it's amazing. Because they had like twice as many yards in every category as Louisiana Tech. They just thoroughly outplayed them statistically. But they lost 35-18.
35-18, yeah. I guess they had there was a pick six involved.
Yep.
A couple of long touchdowns.
Well, they were down. There was a point, I think it was fourth quarter. They were down.
It was the Heart of Dallas Bowl, by the way.
Yeah,
the famed
and
Heart of Dallas Bowl.
Nobody was there. Stands were pretty much empty.
Wasn't it in the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, it was in the Cotton Bowl.
A famed stadium.
Yeah.
What are they playing that slop in that stadium for?
Yeah, that game, that stadium needs to be only used for the Oklahoma-Texas game.
Yeah.
And then move everything else to Jerry World. So, but anyway, I think it was at some point in the fourth quarter yesterday, Louisiana Tech's up 21-18. Louisiana Tech has the ball. I think the quarterback got hit, fumbled. The Illini recover. They're running, and then they fumbled away.
No, my.
And Louisiana Tech recovers. Next play, touchdown.
Touchdown. So Illinois finishes the year 6-7. They did make the bowl game, but you know my thoughts on the Illini football team. The fact that they were in the bowl game just proves there are too many bowl games.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just look at the attendance for yesterday's bowl game. Nobody cares.
It's like the great Tom Hanks line in A League of Their Own. Come on, ladies, there's dozens of people waiting to see us play.
Oh.
Goodness gracious.
You think there's going to be a coaching change with the Illini?
No,
I do not. Not yet.
Do you think the bowl game saved him?
Yes, the bowl appearance saved him.
It might have. But, I mean, if you're Illinois football, at some point you got to pick a guy and you got to roll with him. You know, you can't continue to change coaches every 3 to 5 years and expect your program to get turned around. You know, you didn't like what Zook was doing. That's fine.
And that's going to be a mistake.
I think so.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was at the time. But at that point, you've made your decision with Beckman. You got to roll with this guy. I see you for at least 5 more years. See what happens.
Well, he was on the hot seat coming into the season, and the fact that he made a bowl, the fact that he at least got to 500, and won I think 3 Big Ten conference games. I mean, it's an improvement. So you got to roll with him for next year.
And it's staggering though how quickly college coaches go on that hot seat.
Yeah.
You know, first year in the job, you start 0-2. All of a sudden, you're on the hot seat.
Yeah. You got to build up some kind of program in order to not be on the hot
You really
seat.
Do. It's amazing how much that has changed. You look at college basketball, Mike Krzyzewski, he's closing in on 1,000 wins. Going to be getting that sometime coming up here in the next month or so. But his first few years at Duke, I mean, he was well under 500.
Yeah.
And he's been on the record of saying, if that was now, I would have been fired after 3 years. And then one of the probably the greatest college coach of all time wouldn't be. So it's like patience. It's a hard thing to have when you're at the top making the decisions. Yeah. But sometimes you just gotta go with the guy you hire. But, and if you're Illinois, you hired Tim Beckman. You hired him because you saw qualities in him that you thought could turn the program around.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't bail now. Don't bail after 3 years.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, really, what are your other options?
Jim Harbaugh.
None. Yeah.
Yeah,
Jim Harbaugh's not good. Yeah, he's, yeah.
Now, that would be something.
Like we said before the show started, that job for the Illini football head coaching job is a leapfrog job. That's a job you use to leap into a better job opportunity. Or if you are a coach who just, a really good coach who just got fired and you're trying to build your reputation back up, you take that job as well. That job is hardly a desirable job.
Or it's a job that you could walk out in the sunset on. Yeah, you know, Ron Zook hasn't been hired since he left the Illini.
Yeah, but that has nothing. Yeah, that's a whole different ball.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That was, you got fired by the Illini?
Like, ooh. Yeah. But, of course, it's basketball season now.
Yeah.
For Illinois, thankfully.
Yeah, they're good.
They had a heck of a bragging right game.
Yeah. 9-3, I think.
So, yeah, they had that little rough patch, you know, lost some tough opponents on the road. But, yeah, get the bragging rights when even though Mizzou's terrible. Anytime you can get that win, it's a good one.
Yeah. Still haven't had a bad loss yet.
No, they have not. They have not. So, John Gross has that program rolling. They will host Kennesaw State today. We'll have it live at 7 following our coverage from the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. So, yesterday at Carlinville, they had 8 games on the docket, and the last game of the day was by far the best game of the day. As top-seeded Litchfield survived a big-time scare from Staunton 68-67 as Connor Simmons poured in a career-high 32, including the game winner inside of 15 seconds left. And this tournament, David, it's always tough. It's so balanced. Even though Litchfield is the top seed, you can basically put all these teams in a hat and just pull two teams out, and you wouldn't really be surprised if those were the two teams
that,
standing at the end of the day.
That tournament is anybody's to win right now. I mean, it was going in, but it's still anybody could win that tournament, and I wouldn't necessarily be surprised. So
Gillespie got a win yesterday over Carlinville, defeating Carlinville for the second time this year on the Cavies' home floor. Miners win 62-51. Lincolnwood took care of Bunker Hill 71-54, and Wood River handled Mount Olive 70-38. But yesterday, Gillespie to me is a good looking squad. They're 5-5 now. Of course, they got off to record wise a bit of a slow start because they were in that Metro tournament. I think they went 1-3 in that tournament. But you're playing big time teams down there, and sometimes you learn more from a loss early or several losses early, and it can benefit you moving forward. And I think that is kind of what's happened with Gillespie, because they've got a nice mix of sophomores and juniors. They've got guards. They've got some post play. So the Miners, to me, they've got a chance to really make some noise in this tournament this week.
Yeah, they. I would expect them to have a very good season. I would put them maybe fourth in the South Central Conference this season. That's how good they are.
It's like we get to look ahead. Coaches have to take it one game at a time. But Gillespie, Lincolnwood looming on Monday, potentially the winner of that game could get into the championship game. Have to know how it shakes out today. But
potentially the winner could win.
Of course, and you know how it is, David. As soon as you start looking too far ahead in tournament play, upsets start to happen.
Yep.
And we almost had a big one last night.
Yeah, and both teams will lose today because we mentioned it. So
exactly. So that's how the boys' tournament shaked out yesterday at Carlinville. The girls' tourney at Carlinville. Carlinville defeated Gillespie 67-41. That was a game Gillespie actually jumped out to a 10-2 lead in that ballgame. And then after that, Carlinville just really took control. Litchfield was never threatened yesterday against Staunton, a 50-18 victory. Nokomis never in trouble against Wood River, winning 53-22. That was a running clock in the fourth quarter. It was actually 52-21 after three.
There were some lopsided games in holiday tournaments yesterday. Not just Carlinville, just all around the area. There were some really lopsided. I think Warrensburg Latham up at Williamsville held a team to 8 points.
Total. Well, you know, I saw that this morning when I was doing the scores, and I thought it was wrong, so I didn't read the score.
No, that wasn't wrong.
Warrensburg Latham 63, Decatur Christian 8.
Yeah.
I thought I had just transposed it wrong.
That was the right score.
That's correct. 63-8.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was bad. Warrensburg Latham was the top seed in that tournament.
It's like, I remember back in the day playing high school basketball, you know, like we had some really good teams, and so like we would be beating people by a large amount. So the coach would have to come up with other ways, I guess, to motivate, you know. And one of them every once in a while would be, if they get double digits, you're running a win sprint for every point over 10.
Yeah. I think Porta, the number 2 seed in that tournament, they held, I think they played Midwest Central. They held that team to 6 points at half. I think they ended up scoring more than that, but at halftime, it was like 36-6. So
defense reigns.
Yeah. There were some lopsided victories yesterday.
The other girls' game at Carlinville yesterday saw Bunker Hill defeat Greenfield Northwestern 40-30. So at Carlinville, you've got Carlinville, Litchfield, Nokomis, Bunker Hill, all at 1-0 in pool play. On the boys' side, Litchfield, Gillespie, Lincolnwood, and Wood River, all 1-0 in pool play. And we'll have live coverage coming up at about 3:30 this afternoon here on FM 106 and streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more high school basketball talk following these messages. You tell me, David, is that favoritism? I don't know.
I don't know. Could be.
We were just having a Twitter discussion. I was tweeting last night.
Yeah. His first social media debut yesterday.
It was.
On the official WSMI Sports.
At WSMI Sports.
At WSMI Sports. And it's going to become a regular thing for him, too.
I was a mad tweeter. I was like Jim Irsay. Just mad tweeting like the Colts owner.
Yeah.
That's right. So.
Did a great job, too.
Yeah.
Got some more followers. Got to build up that following. Yeah.
It's a good tool. It really is.
Yes.
But. I should have last night hashtagged when Litchfield was playing, row the boat.
Yeah, but that may have been considered favoritism, but because that's Litchfield's thing.
It is.
Oh, we also cover Staunton though.
We could hashtag something for the dogs.
Sure. I don't know what theirs would be, but Tobin, you're an alumnus.
Yeah, you're a Staunton alumnus. What would it be? What would be the hashtag that would define Staunton athletics?
Dog.
Wait, what? How's he gonna know? He's the topper PA. He's the topper man.
D-A-W-G-S.
D-A-W-G-S.
Dogs.
The dogs.
Dogs. Yeah. Dog pound.
Yeah, sure. Hashtag dogs.
The dog. Yeah. Dog pound. Dogs.
Yeah. You should have when you tweeted that Litchfield was in a dog fight yesterday. You should have Litchfield is in a hashtag dog fight.
See, if I was a Twitter pro, I would have done that.
See, the thing is with like. The toppers, you mentioned the toppers. You couldn't do like the hashtag with T-O-P- all the way through.
I heard, you know, I've always told you that T-O-P-P-E-R-S toppers to me is like one of the greatest like high school like cheers.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was. It might have been Litchfield the other night. Uh-oh. They were doing it. P-A-N-T-H-E-R-S Panthers. I think it was Litchfield who did it. Caught my attention.
I'll have to have my team look at this. That may be a violation of.
It could be.
We did one before when I was in high school for Litchfield, but it wasn't a straight P-A-N-T-H-E-R-S. It was P-A-P-A-N-P-A-N-T-H-E-R-S Panthers, something like that. So
wow,
it's more to more to a singing it almost as well. So
interesting.
Yeah, something a little bit different.
But I've always loved that toppers chant. Sure. It's catchy. Sketchy.
It misses it. I mean, it's good when like Donnie's in the gym because Donnie kind of carries it over and carries it over to the school section. When he's not there,
who
kind of there's a guy named Donnie. He cost me to shave my head that one time.
You look good with a shaved
head. By the way, can I mention this? Speaking of shaved heads, while I was gone for 2 weeks, my wife and I have been selected to be a part of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Okay.
So I'm not putting my hair on the line like I did last
time.
Putting
your wife's hair on the line?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
But the hair brought in $3,000.
Yes.
So my wife and I are coming up with a dance routine, and we are doing this to raise money for the Montgomery County Cancer Association.
Very good, Tobin.
Yeah.
Tobin does a lot for the community.
Anybody wants to see Tobin dance, then just pay. Pay him.
Can we pay him to not see him dance? Is that an option? I'll pay double.
Could be.
I'll pay double.
There you go. You pay him the regular donation to see him dance. You pay double if you don't want to see him dance.
Seems right. Yeah. Seems right. Yesterday at Williamsville in boys tournament play, Hillsborough was defeated by Pleasant Plains 61-47. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, Joe Vanzo. Joe, thank you for a few minutes of your time, sir. Happy holidays. How was your Christmas?
Christmas was good. Christmas was good. We're excited to get back on the court, though, and keep our season rolling.
Christmas
so thanks for calling me.
Christmas is always a little different, though, for a high school basketball coach because it's not really a break at all, is it?
No, not at all. We practiced a couple times early in the week, and then we had Christmas Eve off. We had Christmas Day off, and then we had a early game yesterday over at Williamsville, and really just kind of struggling with inconsistency right now. Played really well right before the break. Won three games last week. Won a really big game at Illinois College, and didn't carry over starting yesterday.
When you guys have really gone out and played some people this year. How would you say that your team has handled, I guess, the certain level of expectation that really hasn't been with the Hillsboro boys program for a while?
They've handled it really well. Early we played up there in Peoria against two really, really quality teams that had a level of athleticism that we won't see the rest of the season. And our kids, they competed really, really well. And then once we got it back into our schedule after we came home from that, you know, we seemed to kind of turn the corner a little bit. And I don't think that we would have beat Reed Custer over at Illinois College without, you know, playing that competitiveness early in the season.
And if you guys are going to get where you would like to go come the postseason, it's those types of early season, regular season games that can really help you as you move along.
Absolutely. You know, you want to play the best people. Competitiveness brings out the best in everybody, and we feel like it's definitely made us a better team at this point in the season, but we still have a ways to go, and with our consistency and especially just getting better at the defensive end and playing every single possession hard and winning every possession, and we're confident that we'll get there, but we're not quite there yet.
Well, not only do you have some tough tournament competition that you've played and will be playing, you've also got some pretty tough conference opponents coming up, as you'll have to face a pretty good Greenville Comets team and a very good Southwestern Piassaw Birds here in the near future as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's other teams in our conference. We're not good enough to just, you know, think that we can roll the balls out and just beat anybody. I mean, we are struggling with inconsistency. Right after Christmas, we play Litchfield and Pena back-to-back Friday and Saturday. We have never won both those games in a season since I've been here. So that's as big a challenge for us as anything going forward. And both those teams have done really well against us the past 4 or 5 years, both good programs. So, you know, it's not, you know, Greenville's very good, Piassaw's very good, but there are also, you know, teams left on our schedule, you know, that will give us a challenge.
Joe Vanza, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Joe, talk a little bit. We'll talk about Dylan Miller here. Going to North Dakota State, has committed, signed his letter. How would you, I guess, assess Dylan Miller this year early? I mean, he is the focal point, obviously, every single time he steps on the floor.
More versatile. Very difficult to guard. He really expanded his game since last spring. We don't have to marry him to the block. We don't have to just sit him in the post. We can move him around and get him shots from anywhere. In the past, we really struggled against zone defense, and we really struggled to get him shots against zone defense. And now he's so good 10 feet away from the basket, and he's so good in the short corner, you know, at different places on the court that we were able to just move him around and get him touches easier for him to get shots. It's very difficult to guard him. You know, it's difficult to double and triple team him when he's away from the basket. So really, it's been a joy to watch him, you know, the way he's expanded his game and really just been consistent throughout the season.
And I would imagine, Joe, that the way that type of game you're describing, that's how he will have to play next year as a D1 basketball player at North Dakota State, because 6'9 here is big. 6'9 in D1 is like normal.
Absolutely. And when they were recruiting him, that's the thing that they really talked about most was how he can make shots. And that was the first thing that – there were two things that stood out with him. Number one, they said he played really tough, and number two, he can make shots. You know, somebody that's 6'9 that can face up and has a really good touch away from the basket. I mean, you don't find those guys too often, and that was really the draw.
How nervous were you in the Taylorville game when he went for a dunk and his head hit the backboard?
I actually didn't know that his head hit the backboard until I saw the picture in the paper. I thought it was pretty neat.
I don't think any of us have ever had that problem.
No.
No, never, never.
Joe, obviously Dylan Miller gets a lot of the press for your club, and rightfully so, going to play D1 ball, but basketball's not about one guy. You got to have a team. You got to have those parts to go around Dylan. So how would you say that the other players on the team are kind of forming around Mr. Miller?
It's come together. I mean, it's coming. We have pieces in place to have a really solid team. Kobe Lemon's got tremendously better offensively. He can make shots. He's a good finisher at the basket. Cody Cox started last year. His offensive game has expanded. We have a sophomore, Steven Finsky, who the last 5 or 6 games averaging about 15 points a game. He scores in a variety of ways. So really, the pieces are in place around, you know, kind of built around Dylan for us to be very good by the end of the year. But we have some things that we need to clean up, that we need to fix, you know, for us to get there.
Well, it also seems like you've got a pretty good freshman class who's come in this year that, with some growth over the next off season or so, should also help your team in the next years to come.
We're very excited about our freshmen. Yeah, we got nine. We have 9 freshmen in our program this year. Some really nice players. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we're excited about our sophomore class too. So with those two classes together, and then what we have coming in the 8th grade class, we're very excited about the future.
Joe, who will you guys be playing today at Williamsville?
We're on the bus right now. We play Midwest Central High School, which is up by Pekin, Illinois.
All right. What time's that tip?
10:30 tip off.
Oh boy, nothing like those early morning games. But at least it's not the day after Christmas that early.
That's right. Hey, we got to show up and play.
That's exactly right. Joe Vanzo, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Best of luck today, sir, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Joe Vanzo, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, David, it's no really secret or surprise to me that really as soon as Joe took the program over for Hillsboro, they kind of found a different gear they hadn't been in for a number of years.
He's the perfect guy for that job.
He is, isn't he?
Just great, one of the great young coaches in the area.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. We will have live coverage from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament coming up at 3:30 this afternoon, as it will be boys action with Gillespie taking on Bunker Hill, and then girls action at 5 as Litchfield and Nokomis. Both games right here on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com, and then Fighting Illini basketball tonight live at 7, hosting Kennesaw State here on FM 106. Last night in the nightcap at Carlinville, what a game. It was the game of the day. Top-seeded Litchfield survived over Staunton 68-67 as Connor Simmons got a late bucket. Career-high 32 points for Connor last night, and the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Drew Logan, joining us on Sports Saturday right now. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Well, bit of an interesting game you had last night, Coach, and it always seems, no matter where you're at, when you show up at Carlinville for the holiday tournament, something crazy always happens.
Well, and it was funny, my mom was there, my wife and my kids, and my wife turned when we were up with 3 seconds to go, and she goes, "I think he's lost 6 or 7 games at the buzzer in this place."
Oh.
You know, and it was like the kiss of death, but we you know, and I've had a lot of games that I've lost at the buzzer, from being when I was at Mount Olive to the first championship game when Riverton beat us at the buzzer. And I just, you know, yeah, I cringe when I get in those situations. But at that point, you just hope that your kids can, you know, step up and make the play. And we did a pretty decent job of defending the final shot.
And, Drew, you really had to like the way that your kids responded. It looked like you had the game under control, really, in that third quarter. Staunton storms back. Just talk about the kind of moxie it took for your kids to come back like they did.
Well, and I mean, obviously you did the game over in Staunton. I mean, we jumped out to a big lead there, playing 14-1, and then the next time you look at the clock, it's 16-14. And you know, I told the kids during a late timeout, you know, if you think Staunton is going to lay down, they've proven to you 3 times now that it doesn't matter what the score is, they're going to keep fighting. And we just, you know, we struggle with our focus in the game and our mental focus, and we have these lapses where we, you know, we were talking on the way home, me and Coach Cooper, and there's probably been 30 minutes on the clock this year that we went scoreless, you know, in long periods of time, 4.5 minutes here. I think against Roxana, we went 7.5 minutes without scoring. And, you know, like I told the kids, it's nice when you can come out of those and still be 7-3. But if we want to push towards the back end of our schedule, which gets tougher, we're not going to be able to have those lapses like that.
Coach, Connor Simmons, as we mentioned, scored 32 points last night. Talk a little bit about his growth as a player, going from last year a player who would come off the bench to this year really being one of the leaders of the team.
Well, his freshman year, he went to the Vandalia shootout with us, I think, once because of some guys being on vacation. And and we were playing like Johnston City or something. He had 17 or 18 points as a freshman, and I thought, well, this, you know, he's going to be able to really contend. And I think last year he kind of got, you know, mixed in, and we had a lot of guys that could score last year, and he did a lot of other things but put the ball in the bucket. But we knew this year he had to, you know, he had to be able to be a big scoring threat for us. And I think he's really struggled early in the season, struggled with free throw line, struggled shooting in general. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what his, you know, where his shooting chart was last night, but I'm pretty confident most of it was around the rim. So he's just being very aggressive with the ball. He's a great all-around player for us. One of the kids that I can rely on night in, night out. And, you know, and I kind of apologized to him and Cooper Sharp after the game because I couldn't find a point to get them out of the game. Because every time I thought the lead was safe, they would make a run 8 or 10 points, and I thought, oh, I got to leave them in. And, you know, I'd get to the end of the game, and they played 32 minutes, and they were exhausted. And I felt bad for them, but, you know, they said, if that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do.
Yeah, they're high school kids. They can bounce back.
Yeah. Well, that's what I told them. I said, better get some rest today because their legs are going to be tired, and you know, but they'll be fine. I mean, they played a lot of them between them and Ryan Howard. They play a lot of extended minutes unless they're hurt, sick, or in foul trouble.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Drew, I think that's probably maybe one of the most least thought about things from the coaching perspective is substitutions, rotations. Like, if I was a coach, I would just take my five best players. I'd just run them out there. I'd never take anybody out. It's like, you're just going to play. How do you balance knowing that, okay, this is my best player, but I do need to get him a breather at some point?
Right. And you know, I guess the luxury I've had the last couple of years is I had some guys coming off the bench that had a lot of playing experience, had a lot of time and a lot of time spent throughout the summer, so I felt pretty confident. I still feel confident with the guys coming off the bench, but I still think they're kind of getting their legs when it comes to varsity basketball. And it's you learn how to play golf. If you learn how to play golf on the golf course, you're probably not going to do real well. And that's, you know, we need more practices, and they need some more minutes. And it's just hard. It's hard to pull those kids off the floors, you know, especially when, you know, you've got a team like Staunton that, you know, the 1-3-1, and when they extend it, it bothers us. And so you need those guys out there that you feel confident handling it in those pressure situations. But I also need those other guys to step up. And we had some guys step up. And Sean Broon came in and gave us some good minutes last night. And Triplett gave us some good minutes. So, it, you know, we're trying to get some more guys in there. And, I'm trying to find breaks for them. But there are some times where you just have to say, well, you're going 32 minutes.
Between Cooper Scharf, Ryan Howard, Connor Simmons, Drew, I would think that, I mean, you'll take your top three guys and feel pretty confident putting them up against the top three guys on pretty much any team you play.
Oh, I agree. You know, and again, I go back to last year. We had numerous games where we had four guys in double digits, and we kind of knew that probably wouldn't be the case this year, and we were going to rely on a couple people to give more of a workload. But, you know, Howie does a good job on defense. We typically put him on, depending on who they have, we give them, you know, either their best guard, best forward, and pretty much tell them to, you know, lock them down and stay in front. And then, obviously, Scharf, I think he pulled down maybe 16 rebounds or something last night. I mean, that's a huge game. You know, he's still struggling with the shot a little bit, but I think it'll come. And the thing is, he's not quitting at it. He continues to try. If he misses, he just misses. I miss, I go get the rebound. I miss, I go play defense. You know, so it's nice to have that, and I, you know, that group of three, I'll throw them out there from an effort standpoint against anybody.
And Drew, of course, the game you got tonight, I know it always has a special place for you.
Yeah, well, you know, and I spent 9 years, 8 years at Mount Olive, and the one thing I said during my interview in Litchfield, you know, they asked why I was considering a job change, and I told them, I said, you know, I obviously, from a competitive standpoint, you know, Litchfield's been a predominant basketball town for a long time. I said, that's what I'm looking for. I said, but I have no ill will in Mount Olive. I love being there. I have a lot of friends still there. I mean, we lived there up until last year. So it is, and it's starting to, I won't say die down a little bit, but a lot of the kids that I had have graduated. It was a little tougher the last few years, but, you know, it's still always an interesting game.
And Mount Olive is one of these teams in the tournament. They're going to scrap and they're going to claw the entire way.
Well, you look back to last year. I think we played them at home and beat them 65-18 or something like that, and then we played them on December 27th, ironically, and beat them 48-40, and they had the game pretty much for three quarters. When we talk to our kids, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you show up, you play a team, it doesn't matter what the score was last time. I was talking to Mark Cuso before the game in the middle of the game, we took the lead. And he's like, "Hey, think you got this one wrapped up?" I go, "You didn't see our Stone game last time." And I told him, I actually walked out to the bus and he was getting his car. And I said, I told you it would be close because Stone's kids just keep fighting. And, you know, Mount Olive's kids are the same way. They're gonna make you earn it.
Absolutely. Well, Drew, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. And we will talk to you down the road, sir.
All right, thank you.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. Great win last night as Connor Simmons pours in 32.
He's another one of those who's really good for the program that he's in, Coach Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good situation for him to be in. Just he's got some talent, obviously, the three-headed monster in Connor Simmons, Cooper Scharf, and Ryan Howard. But, you know, he mentioned he does have to grow the role players around him. So it'll be interesting to see what Litchfield does the rest of the season.
Yep, Litchfield plays Mount Olive tonight. We will have live coverage from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament beginning at 3:30. Bunker Hill Gillespie boys, and then Litchfield Nokomis girls at 5 as we take you up to Fighting Illini basketball tonight at 7 here on WSMI FM 106. We need a break on Sports Saturday. We're back following these messages. Lots of Holiday Tournament basketball yesterday and today, and they've already started today, David. You got some score updates today.
I do have some score updates from the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. Abingdon Avon leads Canton at the half, 17-15, so a close game there. I believe both those teams lost yesterday, so that is the consolation bracket. And Mattoon, Galesburg leads the Lady Redskins of Sullivan by a score of 67-34 after three quarters, so Galesburg having their way with Sullivan so far. At the half at Williamsville, Roanoke Benson up on Clinton, 31-30. Of course, Roanoke Benson, the three seed in that tournament, they were upset in double overtime yesterday, 84-81 by the 14 seed. I don't remember who that was.
South Fulton. That was double overtime?
I thought it was double overtime. There was an overtime game yesterday, and there was a double overtime game yesterday. I think that one was the double overtime one. And then the final one that I have so far from Waverly is Edinburgh is up by one at the half over North Mac, 23-22.
So there was a couple of great games at Waverly yesterday. Greenfield Northwestern defeated Franklin at the buzzer, 44-42. Couple of tournaments from yesterday involving some local teams. The Southwestern girls, they are at the Jerseyville tournament. They defeated Granite City yesterday, 57-36. The Southwestern boys, of course, they lost back-to-back games a week ago. They lost at Jerseyville Friday night, then had to go up to Illinois College, take on a loaded Payson Seymour squad at 12:30 a week ago. So very quick turnaround there. So they lost back-to-back games. They responded last night, bounced back at the Columbia Freeburg tournament as they knocked off Sparta 67-41. Greenville, of course, the boys, they are playing at the Vandalia Holiday Tournament. They played two games yesterday and won them both. They defeated Altamont 55-38 and then defeated Farina South Central 61-37. The host Vandals yesterday went 1-1. They lost Effingham St. Anthony 74-59, then defeated Maroor Forsyth 74-63. Shelbyville and Pena played a good one yesterday. Shelbyville wins it 60-55.
I think Pena dealt with a lot of turnovers in that ballgame, as I was reading from our friend Derek Paris of the Breeze Courier, who's covering that game.
He was busy yesterday.
Yeah, he logged a lot of miles going from Waverly to Vandalia. So.
At the Riverton Girls Tournament yesterday, Hillsboro defeated the Sacred Heart JV squad, 58-28.
I was unaware of that when I heard initially that they had beat Sacred Heart by 30 points, and then heard it was the JV squad.
So. I had to go and do some actual research because I'm like looking at it. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, SHG's playing in the Edwardsville tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, they played two games there yesterday. How could they possibly play in the Riverton tournament as well? But then it's like, oh, wait, the JV squad. I've always found that strange how you'll get some JV teams, they get into these varsity tournaments. It's usually a numbers game, you know, where there's not enough teams to fill the field, but
helps those programs
big time.
Yeah,
I mean, you talk about a JV squad getting a competitive advantage. Who cares if you get mopped by 30 or 40?
Yeah,
your JV squad playing a varsity team.
No kidding.
Also at Riverton yesterday, Williamsville defeated Maroa Forsyth 45-31. Tremont defeated North Mac 64-31. That Edwardsville tournament that has the SHG varsity squad, SHG yesterday went 1-1 there, lost to Rockford Auburn 45-38, defeated Metamora 49-33. To the surprise of no one, Edwardsville won both their games.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Shocking. Right? Hmm. Shocking. Defeated McClure North from Missouri 45-27 and then beat T-Town 49-37.
Hmm.
Chicago Simeons in that, by the way.
I saw that. That's, yeah, interesting.
Of course, that's, you know, that's the thing about Edwardsville. I mean, they're the only – that's how big Edwardsville is. Go to four-class basketball, they're still 4A.
Yeah.
And they're 8A in football.
Yeah.
I mean, they're big, big, big.
They're like the only one down there.
Yeah. Like even like O'Fallon, the Belleville, the East and West, they're at, you know, East St. Louis 6A, 7A. But Edwardsville, I mean, they're squarely always 8A football, always 4A basketball.
Yeah. So.
And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how the determinations are made to when you can split, when you would want to split off into like two public high schools, say. I don't know. I think that's an individual thing. You know, each town can kind of decide on their own. But I would think Edwardsville is approaching that point.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, unless they just like the idea of being the biggest school, basically, yeah, like south of Springfield, they might really like that, being known as the downstate school up in Chicago.
They could.
They might really enjoy that. Because if you split off into two high schools, you know, you could run the risk of kind of, you know, spreading out all the talent. But, I mean, there's a limit. I mean, see, some of those schools up in Chicago, you know, will get 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 students and have separate campuses, like have a north campus in a south campus.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something Edwardsville would look into. Maybe keep one high school but split off the campuses.
You could.
But, I mean, there's got to be a limit, right?
Yeah. Well,
at some point.
I guess we'll keep an eye on that situation if there is something developing.
Yeah. The problem is, I think Edwardsville's already overcrowded for their current high school facility.
But that's,
as it
that's
is
kind
right
of my
now.
Point, though. Like, yeah. As soon as they built that big new high school years ago, it was already too small.
Yeah.
And it's just getting bigger with each passing school year.
Mm.
Got a tremendous sports
we'll
complex over there.
Oh,
my
big time.
Word.
Like a college.
My word.
We'll see. We'll see if they do decide to split up or what happens. Can't really.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could really, you know, how old is that school that they built?
Well, I don't know. It's older than I think it is now. I mean, I think they built it when I was in high school.
It's over 10 years, I think.
It's over 10.
Yeah.
But if it's nice enough, would you really want to, you know, demolish it?
What's
a
nice
I don't think they would demolish it.
They would not
They would just probably build another one.
Build another
and have that one be.
North-South campus.
I've never heard any speculation about it.
Right.
I just thought about it.
That one would be Edwardsville
Central. They're just so big. You don't see any other schools down here that big.
That's huge. That's right. Yeah.
We'll see. Hey, what happened with the vote? The football playoff vote?
We don't find out yet. It's January 6th.
January 6th, so next Saturday.
Yes.
We'll have an answer to that.
Yeah. It's the 5th or the 6th. I don't remember. No, not next Saturday. It'll be the Saturday after that.
You're right. Next Saturday's the 3rd.
Yeah, we need
the 10th.
Like election.
So on the 10th,
we'll
they probably catch back up with Matt Trohall. And
they have until the 30th or 31st to vote, and then they announce it on the 5th or the 6th of January. So we will find out then.
We will find out then. We'll probably get Matt Trohall back on the program
sure.
on the 10th of January and get his thoughts on, well, whether it passed or it failed.
Well, it sounds like the consensus was it wasn't going to pass, but we'll see. I mean, because they had a hard time passing it or getting it to a vote, I guess. But the town hall meeting, they said they decided this year to get it to a vote, but there was still a lot of resistance. So
for those playing at home that may have missed something, because I've been gone for 2 weeks, what are we talking about here? The vote.
Okay.
The vote.
The proposed change of the high school football playoff system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Complete change. It
complete
basically,
change.
It would do conferences would not exist anymore in football.
It would be regions.
Be regions and districts.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's like you'd still have the same number of you still have 8 classes with 32 teams in each class,
mm-hmm.
but just the process of picking those teams would be completely different.
Yeah.
For the better or for the worse?
It depends
who
you talk to. I think personally for us here, it would be worse.
Okay.
Most likely.
For us. Like, for the South Central, to me,
mm-hmm.
it would be worse. It would not be good.
Okay.
In the short term.
In the short term.
In the long term, it could be very beneficial. Because, I mean, you up your competition. You're playing a lot better teams, so you could end up becoming better programs. But.
And that's the thing about the IHSA. I have confidence that they will do the right thing. And even if it does get passed, they will let it play out for a year or two, look at it, evaluate it. And if it's not doing what they think that it was designed or supposed to be doing, they'll scrap it and get rid of it. We've seen them do that with things before. They did it with basketball postseason years ago when they went into those sectional complexes. And after a couple of years, they said, this is no good. We can't have people traveling halfway across the state to play a regional quarterfinal. This is no good. So they, you know, they changed that. So we know that, that they won't just keep it in place just for the sake of keeping it in place. They will only keep it if it actually is a better system than the one that they currently have.
And
so,
another
thing. So if this passes, you wouldn't have to take a trip to Tuscola.
I don't know about that.
He probably would for the regular season.
I wouldn't guarantee that.
Yeah, would for the actually, if it, the way things lined up, for example, you know, just based on enrollments, because you would know the classes beforehand. I mean, you look at it this year, Litchfield, Greenville, and Rochester all would have been 4A. They probably would probably face each other in the regular season because they're so close and they're they would be the same class. So you'd would be seeing a lot more of Rochester. So.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So, yeah, I'm very intrigued to see how the vote plays out. And I don't know if we'll get a breakdown of the vote, how it went, like, based, like, on region of the state.
Yeah.
You know, if there's going to be more, if more northern schools are for it opposed to, like, southern schools. I don't know. I have no idea. But it seems to me that I don't know why. It just seems to me somehow this is going to benefit the private school more. And I have no evidence, no proof to back it up. Just kind of my gut instinct is that just somehow, some way, this is going to benefit the private school.
It depends on the private school. For example, like Alton Marquette is going to be it's going to be hurting them because right now they're playing in the Prairie State Conference. They're beating up on a bunch of the small schools. They're not going to get that luxury anymore because of their class. They're going to have to face the Civic Memorials every year. They could play the Belleville Easts or whoever, whatever enrollment they share. They may not get to 5 wins anymore.
And it would be really neat from that perspective. We would see matchups that we don't normally get to see.
Yeah.
With that, and that would obviously be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this just affects the playoffs, right? This is not regular season?
Well, it would affect the regular season. It would abolish conferences.
So you're talking about this possibly, if it passes, taking into effect, maybe not next year, because next year's schedule is already
it would be the year after. Yeah, there would be no South Central Conference. It would not exist. There would be no Sangamon Conference. It would not exist.
Wow.
For football.
Wow.
Yeah, just for football. It would still be in place for all the other sports, but football itself, they wouldn't be bound by conferences. And the reason that came to be was they feel that some teams have kind of been scheduling just to get to 5 wins themselves playoff eligible.
Shocking. Yeah, there have been so many new conferences formed in the last few years, and conferences just being realigned in the last few years, just in football. So that being another factor,
I've never heard of that kind of thing loading up the schedule to get you 5 wins.
Yeah. I know, weird, right?
Right.
So the decision will come down in the new year, and we'll.
It's very intriguing. I would love to find out a sample of the regions. I'd be satisfied with that. Just let me know what your plan is for which teams are gonna play who, and
if it passes, I would imagine they'll have that information out relatively quickly.
Well, that would be fantastic.
I would think.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah,
and they probably have the vote broken down, but it'd probably be a generic saying it passed
And we asked Matt Troha, I guess that was just last week.
That was last week, yeah.
And it just has to be a simple majority. It doesn't have to be 2/3. So 51% will get that bad boy passed.
Yeah.
So we will wait and see.
How many Chicago districts are up there? Oh, sorry.
I don't know where they would be where they would be standing on this, because I just don't know where they would stand on this, because they're going to be in their own region, and I mean they're going to be, depending on the size of their school, scattered. Nothing could end up changing for them.
And really, I wonder if conference coaches and ADs like get together and kind of try to come up with a consensus of what they want to do, like if you'll see like South Central coaches trying to all do the same thing, Sangamo coaches trying to all do the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if much would change for them up there, because I would think they would end up playing the same people as they're playing now, because they would be their own region.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the Board of Education as itself, because I've been at meetings where the superintendent's asked the Board of Education, hey, the South Central Conference is looking into adding this team or whatever. Are you in favor or not? And whatever the BOE says, that's their vote to take in to the meeting. So, I mean, there's a lot of variables that play into this or could play into this.
It'll be a big change if it does happen. So we'll wait for the decision there and hopefully be talking to Matt Troha coming up sometime in January and get his thoughts on the decision. It's basketball season now, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holiday basketball
season. Conferences still count.
Conferences still matter. Yes, they do. Ooh.
Hello.
Whoa. I didn't do it.
Easy there.
I'm a part-timer now. I don't know what okay. I'm doing.
It's acceptable.
Got a part-timer. Hey, we've got high school basketball coming up this afternoon for the Carletonville Holiday Tournament. It'll be Bunker Hill and Gillespie tipping live at 3:30. And then girls action, Litchfield and Nokomis. That'll be live at 5, both games right here on FM 106. It'll all stream at WSMIRadio.com. And then we'll have Fighting Illini basketball tonight as well. They will host Kennesaw State, and we'll have it live at 7 here on WSMI FM 106.
Now, this is it for non-conference play for the Illini. Big Ten's after this. Michigan will open the conference season.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah.
That's almost a Big Ten team. They're terrible.
Michigan?
Oh, awful. They lost to the New Jersey Institute of Technology.
They lost
at home.
They lost to two of those teams.
Oh.
Now, that being said, we'll wait and see how they respond against the Illini.
Well, you said Illinois hasn't had a bad loss yet.
Yeah.
If that would be it.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Yeah, but you mentioned Illinois being a basketball school.
Big
time. Michigan's a football school.
I mean, they used to be.
Yeah.
Not so much this year.
They would like to be.
Boy, Michigan's really down in everything across the board in their men's sports.
Tell you what, you get Harbaugh in there, that'll help out tremendously.
That will be great for the Big Ten in general because they need someone other than Urban Meyer coaching in that conference.
Yeah.
Right now they are struggling for national respect. I mean, look at it. Big Ten had 10 teams in bowl games this year. All of them are underdogs.
All of them are underdogs. So you're not picking Ohio State to beat Bama?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Mr.
Ohio State?
No.
No?
No.
What kind of fan are you?
Because the last couple of times I've been excited about a bowl game that mattered for Ohio State against an SEC team, they didn't show up.
I see what you're doing. You're going reverse psychology.
Yeah.
I got you.
See, nobody's going to be expecting them. Everybody's already penciling in Alabama in that championship game.
Right.
You wait. Cardale Jones can have a day.
Yeah, I like reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Works more times than not. WSMI Sports Saturday is out of time here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carletonville, and Greenville. Live coverage from the Carletonville Holiday Tournament coming up at 3:30 this afternoon here on FM 106 for Tobinat. David Jenkins. I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done. Have a great weekend, everybody.